Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Good evening and welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful, cool, and refreshing Southern California. I'm so thrilled to announce that we have G.W. Hardin back with us tonight to tell us what happened at the Global Eden Event / the Gathering of One in Yellowstone, Montana. We also have spiritual photographer J.T. Eagley with us, who was there and took some of the most incredible pictures. So get ready to be amazed as we step into the golden age of peace right here on the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Have you ever said to yourself, I want to quit smoking? Have you ever felt guilty about the money you are spending on cigarettes or what smoking may be doing to your health? Well, here's a fast, effective, and affordable way to quit smoking forever. Creative guided imagery and hypnosis has an incredible stop smoking program that you can use in the privacy of your own home by simply listening to a wonderfully relaxing CD. Along with the 10-page instruction booklet, you get an outstanding homeopathic formula that immediately takes away those strong urges to ensure your complete success. Now, most quit smoking programs normally cost up to $400. You can get this program for a fraction of that cost. So why wait a day longer? Simply go to creativeguidedimagery.com. Save time, save money, and save your health by going to creativeguidedimagery.com. That's creativeguidedimagery.com. Hi there, Jules here to tell you about the Center of Creation Meditation CD that will bring you into the perfect alpha state, then moving you into the theta state in which to effectively create your desires through your pineal gland located in the center of your brain. It's so easy to use. Just write down your desires in one sentence and then use the CD. But you must remember, this CD is so powerful, you've got to monitor your thoughts 4 to 6 hours after you listen to it. Yep, it's that effective. Go to lawofattractiontools.com hypnosis page and listen to the sample. You can download it immediately and start using it today. You'll love it. Remember, you can only get it on lawofattractiontools.com. I am so excited to be talking with G.W. Hardin again about this angelic event, so let's not wait a moment longer. As you remember, G.W. Hardin is the best-selling co-author of The Messengers. He has a graduate degree in mathematics from the University of Washington and started out as a computer scientist. Having encounters of his own with angelic messengers, it convinced him to turn his attention to writing and bringing some of these stories forward. We also have J.T. Eagley with us, a spiritual photographer that has participated in the Global Eden event for many years, and will talk about his incredible photos. Hi, G.W. Great to have you back on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you, Julie. It's really nice to be back.
And welcome, J.T. Glad you could make it.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, G.W., let's bring everyone back up to speed about the Global Eden event / the Gathering of One that was held during the week of June 21st, 2008. The angels basically directed this event to usher in the Golden Age of Peace, right?
They did. This event was kind of set up a year earlier with these appearances of these angels, and these angels have appeared to more than one person, but predominantly the physical appearances have been with Joseph Crane. And about a year ago, one of the angels, the one that calls himself Michael, basically stated, you must know by now that your kind has a short memory for that which is done to, as well as for, the people. The insanity of violence brought on by anger or loss will not quench the fire of hatred which burns in the hearts of your kind. Those that gather with you at Yellowstone can begin to restore sanity to the leaders and the people of the world. Those that gather with you at Yellowstone can begin to settle and calm the vibrations of the earth. Forget not that which you do on the earth you cause to be within the earth. That then started a series of meetings with Native American elders and leaders. And, prophecies from the tribes started to come forth. And with that, there began to be a parallel of what we were hearing from the angels and what I was hearing from these elders and their ancient prophecies. And so one of the big ones that came up that I haven't talked a lot about is the fact that the Shoshone elders and the Hopi keeper of the prophecies both told me that one of their concerns was this, in their prophecy, is the imminent eruption of the caldera around Yellowstone. And so for us to have this special event there had another meaning to them. Hmm. What then occurred after that was the notion of bringing the entire world on board. And before we knew it, we had a worldwide event in the planning.
Oh, I know. I participated in one out here. What happened at the Gathering of One, the Eden event?
Well, we had basically 4 days of preparation and then a day of what we call the Grand Formation. The first day was used to basically get people attuned who had never been to one of these events. Now, these events have been ongoing for 5 years, and this was the sixth year, and then we have two more for what these angels called setting of the boundaries of Eden. But they said that this year was the most important, and that this was the year that we could bring an end to the insanity of war with world leaders if we could get 444 people in this sacred formation. So we have done formations in the past, but nothing to compare to the size and the impact that this one would have. So in the past, anytime we've used these formations, a lot of people, have gotten strongly affected, even, to the point of, falling to the ground, myself included. And so we prepare people energetically by, taking them through a series of preparation formations, which occurred the first day. The second day, we then brought in the tribal leaders and the elders to speak about the ancient stories and the legends and the prophecies to let us know what we could bring back, because the ancient stories from these elders talked about a time of when the world was one and what had happened to separate us. The third day had to do with preparing ourselves in what we called the Dance of Oneness. And this Dance of Oneness was a specific dance that the angels had given us. And this is the first time they had given us a dance. Before, I had just brought in, a form of circle dances with trance chant singing going along with it. Mm-hmm. But they kind of brought in a new kind of dance, mostly because we had earlier been told that the Mamos of Colombia, the elders of the Mamos of Colombia, would come up, and with them they would bring one of their ancient secrets, which was called the Dance of Oneness, and they were going to teach us that. But at the last moment, you know, the cross-border difficulties didn't allow them to come. And so the angels basically gave us this dance we could use in place of this ancient secret that they were going to bring. And then the last day was our moving into the grand formation, in which we would call in, invoke in the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and prepare our world for this, what the angels call first vibration of peace, which I have broadened into including, you know, the prophetic notions of what many call the golden age of peace, which we feel we have opened up. So that's a synopsis of what we did during those 4 days up at Yellowstone.
Great. Now, while you've been giving the synopsis, listeners are viewing the photos either from my website on lawofattractiontools.com or my host profile page. You know, I'd like to bring JT on right now and ask JT, you were involved in the 2003 Global Eden event, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay, I've got those photos labeled as 2003 from Elgin, Illinois. Can you tell us about the photographs?
Okay, well, we had a van parked out the formation, and I just put a tripod on the van, and I like to experiment with time-lapse photography and everything, and I just decided, well, why don't I just leave the shutter open during the whole thing and just see what happens? And it was kind of a crapshoot to see what happened, but, you know, like, the pictures, when they came out, they were just, they blew me back. And those were probably the best ones I've gotten, were the first ones.
Okay, perhaps you could explain the photo. You don't have any lights, or was there any lights, or minimal lights, or what?
Yeah, it was nighttime during that time, so, and then there was a fire in the middle. And then people had a few flashlights or whatever, but, you know, and I think some of the lights in the pictures are attributed to flashlights, but there's a lot of lights that I can't explain, you know. So, and, you know, I'm the type of person that's got to, like, really look at it. And, you know, I try to explain it myself, but, like, you know, I went to school for photography, so I knew, like, what to look for in the negative and everything. And it was pretty fantastic, like, you know, and none of the pictures that I have on here are photoshopped in any way. You know, I pretty much took them right from the negative and put them on the computer. I didn't adjust the colors or anything, which kind of drove me nuts in a way, because I like to color balance my pictures and everything. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, like, people knew that these were untouched in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, so this is a regular film camera, not a digital camera, right?
Yes.
Okay, even the ones that were taken in Yellowstone, they're negatives?
Actually, three of them are the film, and the one is actually digital, because I got a new digital camera. I'm like, well, why don't I try to experiment with the digital? So I put the digital on the tripod, and then I just put the film one on the ground, thinking, you know, like, I was going to capture more with the digital, but ended up being the other way around. I was very excited.
GW, there's a picture from 2003 where the fire is really brilliant, and it looks like you can see an angel with wings.
JT, is that the one up at Illinois Elgin?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're referring to the one that's red, that's like almost a red figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanna add about this picture, because this is something else that really amazed me. On the negative itself, the red image actually pops out of the negative, but it doesn't go far. It just, like, it gets, you know, like a negative has a border, and this just pops right out of the border, but then it stops again. So it's not like it's a chemical mess up or anything, because it, you know, the when they develop film, it will go through the whole, like, from top to bottom of the film strip. And this one cuts it like it jumps out of the border, and then it has another border and it stops. And it was just amazing, because I don't understand, like, how it would do that, but it did. So.
And what's interesting is that each year since 2000, well, every year, but especially since 2003, we basically have a theme that's oriented around that gathering, and I think the one for that year had to do with love and mercy. And so every year JT gets a different phenomena showing up because of the different angels that we focus on each year. I think that one up in Elgin was called the Metatron event.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of chairs empty. Were you guys up doing something? What was going on?
At one point, we were all circled around the center holding hands, and that was before, like, we all got in and did it. So, like, some of the images, everyone's standing around, and then, like, some of the images actually where we were in the middle. Because I think the exposure time for the picture was maybe, like, 45 minutes.
Oh, 45 minutes. Well, that's really interesting. Okay, and the one that I'm looking at is photo number 2 in 2003. Okay, let's move on to the Yellowstone pictures. Photo number 1, you know, it looks like it's right before sunset. I don't know, about 6 o'clock?
It was around probably like a little bit later, but yeah, it was right before sunset was the first image.
It was 9:30 up there, so that's probably around 9 that one is.
Okay, so it's the light shadow. So what exactly are we all looking at? It looks like people may be a little chilly by all the covering.
Well, actually, it was very buggy, a lot of mosquitoes, so everyone had, like, a lot of clothing on just to get the mosquitoes away, so.
Oh,
good thing everyone was wearing all that because, like, once the sun went down, it got really cold. So
okay. We are still looking at photo number 2, and we're looking at people looking towards the center of something. And you're at ground level, it looks like. And then at the top, we're beginning to see a faint shadow come up. Actually, there's 2 of them, further to the right.
Yeah.
There's actually 3 shadows there. You don't see the other 2 very well until you get to the next picture, but they're there. And here's why I think there are 3 of these spirit forms that are showing. When we did the Dance of Oneness the day before, we basically started what we call the preparation of the invocation, where we literally were told by the angels on the Dance of Oneness that we had to clear the vibration of the old, and that the 72 chants that we did in both directions of the circle cleared out the old notion of the divine feminine, cleared out the old notion of the divine masculine. But what not very many people know is that the divine feminine and the divine masculine each have what's called the twin. And in angelology, the twin is known as Sandalphon. And Sandalphon is the carrier of the prayers of the people of the earth to the heavens. So he's like the bridge between heaven and earth. And anytime he shows up very, very tall. So in our invocation on Saturday when we did the Grand Formation, we again invoked the divine feminine, which was Shekinah, the divine masculine, which was Metatron. And we also invoked Metatron. Now, we have tuning forks that we know that they've given us that resonate in the third dimensional level with their presence. So there were actually 3 tuning forks that were rung also before this picture was taken. And I'm submitting to you that the 3 spirit forms that show up are representations of these 3 figures, because the divine feminine was supposed to show up in part of the formation in the west. The divine masculine was supposed to show up in part of the formation in the east, and then the Sandalphon was supposed to show up in the middle between these 2 formations. And I think that's exactly what JT caught on film.
Okay, now on photo number 3, we can see the deeper shadows.
Indeed.
Okay, then the tall shadow in the picture is
Sandalphon.
Sandalphon. Does that represent the male?
No, that represents the coming together of heaven and earth, bringing together of the masculine and the feminine, because that was the key part of bringing the first vibration of peace, of bringing an end to the insanity of war, was to bring in to union the divine masculine and divine feminine, to bring together the Shekinah and the Metatron. And in one of the appearances just before we went to Yellowstone, the angel said, bring together the divine feminine and the divine masculine, and who stand against them in creating war? So the role of the Sandalphon is this notion of connection and bringing all into oneness.
Okay, so there's a real tall one, then there's a slightly lower one, and then there's another tall one to the right. Am I reading that right?
I think you are, yeah. And there's one kind of in the distance. The one that's in the distance is where the formation of the Metatron was.
No, that would be the Shekinah. I was on the Metatron side.
Oh, so this is backwards then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you were...
Like you can kind of see the triangle. That's the Metatron tent. The gold, this little gold triangle in both the first two pictures. Kind of see it like right under the shadow, the tall shadow.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that was. And what was that again?
The Metatron side.
There were two structures that we had to create in the formation. In the Metatron formation, in the middle, there was a specific crystal that the angels asked to have created that was held within this tent. Now, this tent was not unlike what was used in ancient times when the Metatron, or I Am, as he is called also, showed up during the time of Moses. This tent was not unlike that at all. In fact, in those days of Moses, it was called a tabernacle. And in fact, the angels in the appearances called this canvas tent that we constructed around this very special construction in the middle of the Metatron, they did also call it a tabernacle. And there were two aspects of the tabernacle. There was the tabernacle below and the tabernacle above. Now, in the ancient Kabbalah, when they talk about this, they say that when the heaven and the earth are summoned together, the tabernacle below has to be created before the tabernacle above appears. And I think that's what JT captured here was, he's got, you know, part of that tent where you can see the light of it,
yeah.
Almost the pyramid part. And then the tabernacle above is this representation of the Metatron, which shows up in this spirit form, this kind of shadowy figure on the film.
Now, the shadowy picture, even though it looks like a man, it's probably both of them, both man and woman, right?
It is. All of these creatures have a masculine and a feminine counterpart. Even in the ancient Kabbalah, the Metatron was said to contain the seed of the feminine. In the ancient Kabbalah, they also said that the Shekinah carried the seed of the masculine.
Wow, these are amazing pictures. You know, it kind of looks like they even have clothes on.
And that's how they show up when they appear to Joe and to others. Show up usually in robes, and frankly, they look like robes in the pictures.
Yeah, they do, even with hoods on.
In one case, yeah.
Well, isn't that something? Now, looking to the far right, it looks like the shadow is a woman.
Well, that's the Shekinah. Now, over in the Shekinah formation, we had another structure, which was called the altar. And this altar was made up of these stones that Joe was asked to create and kiln. And there were 222 of these stones. And he was literally asked to create special markings on there, which kind of looked like gibberish. So all 220 of these stones formed like the wall of an altar, and then on the top of that sat a special bowl, which he'd also been instructed how to make, which was like the crucible or the container or the holding place of the divine feminine. And that's why you see that kind of female figure showing up above that.
I see. Interesting. Okay, let's look at the left-hand side of the photo. From top to bottom in the middle, on the far left-hand side, there's lights there. Do you see those?
Yeah, I think I know. You're talking about the left center?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a string of light there.
So would that represent another entity?
It definitely could, because that was probably like the left, you know, the back edge of everything that was going on. So it is kind of strange looking.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in all the pictures I've seen you take over the years, these lights show up every year.
Yeah. The Texas pictures they didn't turn out, but like every other year, yeah, the lights show up. Sometimes it was a little light outside, so they didn't quite show up, but still they're pretty crazy pictures. So.
Okay, and just to remind everybody, this is regular film in a camera, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you something else. In that same photo, to the right, and actually lowering it down a bit, behind a glass and right before an empty chair, you see like a half a leg. What is that all about?
Oh, yeah, I do see it. It could be possibly like someone's actual leg.
Because it was on a time lapse?
Yeah. But, like I said, like these photos, like, I don't know, I never can explain them. Like, they just turn out like this, you know?
Okay, so it could just be a person who happened to be there for about a minute and was caught in the time lapse, right?
Yeah.
But then again, it wouldn't account for the definite shadows, would it?
Yeah, like, they're just too high up, you know? And the camera was back quite a bit, so.
Wow, some really outstanding photographs.
Thank you.
The other thing, JT, is that what you don't know is, you know, I talked with, people afterwards who have what I call the gift of second sight, who are people who can see these things without a camera. And they pretty much lined up in description what JT caught on camera.
Oh, wow.
Especially the shot that the Regina Madsen shot, that was seen by all of the clairvoyants or the seers that are in our group.
Oh, yes. That's a wonderful photograph by Regina Madsen called Angel Fire.
Yeah, that stream of light that just shoots up into the heavens, that also was described by the people who can see this stuff, that they saw that happen. They actually literally saw the Metatron and the Shekinah come together, and then they just shot up they moved from the center to the sacred fire and then shot up into the heavens. That was their description. So what JT has caught on film is corroborated by, those who were watching what was going on.
Now, moving on to photo number 3 in Yellowstone, this is really, really colorful, and I don't really quite understand it, and maybe you could give us some details. I mean, there's blues and reds. It's really brilliant, and different images here. Can you explain what's going on?
I think it's just incredible just the way it turned out. This image was actually taken, like, right when the event was almost over, and I went back and I reset the shutter, and I let this one go for probably about 20 minutes, and it just amazed me, like, just how all the lights streamed off everywhere and everything.
So, JT, this was after we had the light sticks that you took this?
Well, the light sticks were on the other side. So
that's right.
But, yeah, it would have been definitely after the light sticks, yes.
Because there was a point early on, where we were given light sticks in the Shekinah formation, which is completely on the other side of where JT was, and these light sticks are illuminated and are part of the ceremony that we use. They're all gathered and then put in the bowl that's on the altar, and they're left there. But JT was like over 100 feet away from that.
So were they dancing with the light sticks, and were they blue and red? And
well, there were blue, there were red, there were white light sticks, but none of them were around JT. And
yeah,
they were only used for, at the most, 5 minutes before they were all gathered and put in the bowl. So what JT captured on camera there, on film, is totally unexplainable.
Huh, isn't that something? And this is a shutter for 20 minutes.
Yeah, just about, probably about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Then I'm noticing lights in the opposite direction, like in a different slant on the right-hand side.
Those are actually stars. I can explain those.
Well, the stars are explainable, but the colors aren't. Okay, so people were standing around, right?
Yeah, or some of them were sitting, but yeah, most of them were standing at that time. And actually, at this time, some of the people were probably leaving, too, like towards the end of the exposure.
Well, also, at last year's event, JT took a picture where these kind of colors showed up. Now, what happens is that the angels that are involved in the work that we do, the ones that show up consistently are part of what are called the Holy Sephiroth. And when they show up in different colors, and they show up in the seven different colors of the rainbow. Now, in the photograph of the Switzerland group, you'll see, you know, these hundreds and hundreds of orbs that...
Oh, yes, I was going to bring those up. Those are the pictures from Switzerland, Janice Arab, who took them, and she was doing the gathering of one the exact same time that Montana was doing it, as well as the rest of the world.
Indeed, yeah. And again, you'll see different colors showing up in different orbs, if you look close enough, which correspond to these seven different colors that these angels represent when they appear to us. And the reason why they have those seven different colors is it's a more than a metaphor of how all of Earth is supposed to work together in its diversity, so that, you know, the seven colors of the rainbow create one rainbow, and that we should honor each other's gifts and bless each other's gifts, different as they are, as we work together in oneness. So that could be part of the explanation of why all those colors show up.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Now, Janice wanted me to point out that her group with one, picture one and picture two, if you could notice the difference, the first photograph was not as joyous as the second photograph. So she wanted to point out that when your happiness really comes up, that's when more orbs appeared on the photos. And then she wanted to point out that the other orb, the single one, was like it was behind a pipe. So that in itself proves that it's not a watermark or anything, because it's actually behind a pole.
That is interesting, yeah.
You know, I consider myself a skeptic, and I've looked at orb shots over the years, and I've gone to great lengths to try and disprove those things, and I cannot disprove them. They are legitimate. We even did an experiment once with the digital photography in a place that I knew had angels in it, because I'd been called in because they thought the place was haunted, and it wasn't. It was just blessed. And one of my cohorts was taking pictures, and there were orbs all around the house. And if I called out the name of an angel, then only a certain number of orbs would show up. If I called out another angel, then another set of orbs would show up. If I called out a third angel, then another set of orbs would show up on the camera. And then when I would say all angels, then hundreds of orbs would show up, you know, on there. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
Just looking at the Yellowstone pictures, I just can't get over it. It's like you're actually witnessing real angels. It's really mind-blowing. Well, I just can't thank you enough, JT, for taking these photographs. They're just outstanding.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Regina Mattson for the Angel Fire, and Janice Robb, who did a fantastic job of those pictures in Switzerland. You know, it's just amazing the impact on the world that this event has had. GW, didn't you say that there was like 300 groups worldwide doing this at the same time?
There were at least 300 cities representing every continent and subcontinent of the world, including Antarctica.
So let's ask the important question here. What do you think the outcome is going to be from this event? How is it going to affect the world?
Well, it was interesting that throughout the Yellowstone event, there was, you know, this repeat of extreme experiences that were occurring. You know, people were really into their issues, you know, and then people were really into their gifts. And, you know, then we had events where people were just really seeing the consequences of separation. And then we'd have, you know, like the Dance of Oneness, where we'd have this incredible sense of oneness. And so I kept going back and forth throughout the event. And people kept coming up to me and asking me, why is this going on? And my answer was, it's a necessity for us to be able to know oneness by first realizing separation. And it was as if we were being prepared for what we were about to do with the Grand Formation. And so when we got out to the Grand Formation and we were in place, there was this tremendous amount of energy that was there at the very start. But then it was like it went away. And everything grew very calm. Now, JT's been at these before, and anytime we've gone into this formation, I mean, the energy just goes wild. Sometimes, you know, it just knocks people out. Sometimes it sends people into uncontrollable laughter. You know, I mean, sometimes people just are totally in a state of euphoria. But at this one, it was really, really calm. And I kept wondering if we were doing something wrong. So, you know, we got to the point where we do the ritual where we call in the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and then we bring that union of the first vibration of peace into our hearts. And then the next thing that we do is all of us we put our hands on the ground, and then we send this first vibration into the earth, and that's when it hit. I mean, everyone felt that. Incredible.
Oh, I gotta say that's when I felt it at this formation. Like when I put my hand on the ground, I could literally feel like the lava running underneath the surface of the ground. It was crazy.
No, hold on. You know, I'm one of the people who can see things, but you know, I wasn't seeing anything except for what the Regina Madsen photo showed. I mean, I saw that, but when we put our hand on the ground, I could see this incredible wave just move into the earth. And I could see it going into the earth to a point where it almost hit the center, and then it just like bounced out an explosion of light. And it just totally filled me with this sense of peace and calm. And everyone I talked to felt this or saw it. And that's when I knew that what we had come for had been accomplished. And after I got back, I started reading what the angel said would happen, and I kind of had forgotten until I went back and read it. And I'm going to, if we've got a minute here, I'd like to quote some of what they said.
Oh, please, yes.
Here's what they said what would happen. They said, quote, bring forth 222 gathered masters at Yellowstone with that which we give you to do with others around the world, and you will send forth the first vibrations of peace. Bring forth 444 gathered masters, and that which you will cause will be a noticeable change around the world. Your kind desires peace in your world, yet your kind has become lost in the way in which peace is to come about. That which our kind calls the first vibrations of peace will open the hearts and minds of your world for peace. The first vibrations of peace will wash over the world in quiet. People will hear the sounds of nature in ways they have long forgotten. Insects in the fields can be heard. The songs of birds will fill the air. The people of the world will know peace cannot be won. They will begin to remember the greatest teaching of any prophet or holy man they follow is the way of peace. Peace is truly a way of being that is allowed by all and not made by a few. Then in another section, they describe what happens when the divine masculine and the divine feminine come in. And again, they talk about this quiet and this peace. And I'd forgotten, you know, that they had said, you know, that it would be much different than what we're, you know, we're used to seeing. And I'll quote just a piece here. And this is what Joe Crane saw in the vision that they showed him as to what would happen. And he writes, "Their vibration seemed to be going out to everything. The ground was absorbing it, and even the very air was holding the frequency coming from the people in the gathering. It didn't feel like something profound happened in a powerful way. It was more like a gentle breeze started in the center of each part of the formation, and it went outwards." Unquote. And that's exactly what JT and I were describing. And then Gabriel comes into the picture, and Joe says, "The thing I noticed was the way the masters looked. There was something very different about them. I think it was more about who they had become rather than any physical change that took place. The best thing I can come up with is they are just more of who they really are. It was like their inner light shone more brightly." And then Gabriel says, "You see now that which the masters are becoming, all those that participated in this event. Yet I tell you truly, the world has begun to change in that which you have seen. Look out to the world." And then Gabriel says, after Joe says, "Wow," Gabriel says, "Wow, indeed, as you can see, the world has started to change. And again, truly, I say to you, it is not only the world that is changing, it is all of those upon it." Unquote. Now, I'm going to let JT speak for himself, but that's exactly what my experience was. I felt completely changed afterwards. I drove home afterwards, and it was like, I just don't feel the same. I even had to pull off the road for a couple of hours just because it just, I don't know, it was like I just needed to get in touch with me. And then when I came back, I slept like I haven't slept before. I mean, I was sleeping 10, 12 hours a day, plus taking 3 naps a day. And I heard this from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, like the people in the Chicago area that I've been talking to, but even my wife and me, like, we've just, this event drained us. Like, it just, I mean, that was it. We're still, like, I still feel affected from it. Like it was just, it was just so powerful this time, and, like, you know, I'm still getting over it, you know.
And I've sat down with several friends who wanted, you know, to me to give a report of what happened up there, and every single one of them has said, "You've changed." Well, you know, one of the things that I'm telling people is that peace is not the absence of tension. You know, in throughout nature, peace is this grand balance of creative forces. And it's in this balance that this peacefulness and this strength comes forth. And, you know, I'm sensing that in me, that I'm just not bothered by all the tension, you know, that is in the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not bothered by it. It's just, I know it will come into balance. It will come into fruition. It will come into a harmony. There's something in me that just knows it. And there's something in me that is living it now, too. I mean, there's something in me that feels like I'm more authentically who I am. I find myself not compromising who I am. I find myself not waffling about who I am. I find myself being much more direct in a kind way. But nonetheless, I find myself becoming more authentic.
Okay, but what can we expect for humanity? I mean, can we expect eradication of major diseases? Can we expect the end of the war? Can we expect a better economy? What does this mean for us? What can we do? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, you bring up a really interesting notion, because You know, there's a lot of people asking that question, and I've spent a lot of time pursuing it. You know, last time I did the interview, you know, we talked about prophecy, and I told you that I was a student of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to a set of appearances that occurred over a year ago when they first told us what we were about to co-create, all of us together here, with this event. And one of the questions that came up was the notion of prophecy. And one of the statements that I had made to Joe Crane was that I felt that we were going to see what I called the end of prophecy. So when Michael appeared, Joe basically asked Michael if it was true that we were going to see the end of prophecy, if we pulled this thing off. And Michael basically said, what Gary has told you is not without merit. And I'm just going to quote again what Michael said, because I think the words are just very definitive and succinct here. And I quote, I tell you truly, the masters have not come to destroy nor to fulfill prophecy. The old prophecies are set in fear and retribution. These things have driven your world for eons, and they still plague your kind to this day. Only when the Shekinah stays because of the joy and wisdom held by the masters will a new prophecy of love and peace be written across the universe. The old prophecies hold true, yet they are weakened by the Shekinah's return. The masters have within their grasp that which will write the future of the stars and beyond time. Eden was not lost to your world, yet it is your world that will set the balance of all things. When I first heard that, that totally blew me away. It said two things. First of all, that we had within our grasp the ability to create a whole new kind of world, a whole new prophetic tradition. Secondly, what is happening here on Earth is not limited to Earth. In a later appearance, because I wanted to make sure what I thought I was hearing was what I was hearing, they verified that not only what we have done here on Earth at this event will affect the Earth, but it will affect all worlds. So the answer to your question is, what's going to happen is what we choose to happen. It's up to us. We get to work together to co-create. Now, from a quantum physics point of view, there are an unlimited number of potentials.
Right.
But what these angels are telling us is that we get to make a choice as to how this is all going to show up. So in reality, what happened at Yellowstone is only the beginning. It's only the beginning.
So we can get together, do collective consciousness thought, and literally create a better tomorrow for everything.
And it's already started in what you've heard from JT and what you've heard from me. We have realized that something in us has changed. We know that. Now, here's what I think it is, and this is just my opinion. But what I have noticed in these appearances over the last 2.5 years is that the angels have used a term in which they call the binding. They basically say, our kind wishes to bind with your kind. Now, the implications of that are profound, because it does mean the coming together of heaven and earth, but in a way that we may have never dreamt of. What I was told by the seers who were at the Yellowstone event, and what you see in the photographs of the Switzerland event,
mm-hmm.
is that all these angels showed up. And what the seers saw is that the angels didn't step behind each person in formation. They said they stepped into each person in the formation. Now, if you look at a lot of orb pictures in the past, you'll see that these orbs are usually around situations or around people, but the Switzerland orbs are in each person's aura. I mean, they're right in there with them. And that is exactly what these seers saw happen at Yellowstone. The angels stepped into us. We in the angelic realm have moved into a oneness. And that oneness is making itself known day by day by day. And I feel that we're already starting to see the ramifications of it. We're already seeing groups and organizations starting to talk about things that I have never heard before. I think I sent you a video of the Pachamama Alliance. And all of a sudden, here is this very eco-oriented worldwide organization, which is in touch with thousands of other organizations around the world, now talking about hundreds of thousands of organizations around the world. And not just eco-spiritual justice movement-type organizations. In her last lecture, which occurred only a few weeks ago, she's talking about how major corporations are now coming on board. The likes of Walmart? Johnson & Johnson?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're really becoming conscious of what we need to become as companies, as businesses in the world.
And there's more and more coming on board. There's an entire group in Hollywood that's now going to form a whole different way of making a new genre of movies. And we're going to see one of them come out pretty soon called Blessed Unrest. We're already beginning to see this transformation move through society and through the culture.
So, again, it all depends on us, doesn't it?
And it's continuing to evolve as each one of us evolves. I mean, I know because of what's happened to me that you know, JT is probably seeing himself differently as well, as are the people in Switzerland, as are the people in India. There's another video that's just come out. India tomorrow is going to have this worldwide event, and they're using the same kind of verbiage, the same kind of description, the same kind of new prophecy that we heard at Yellowstone.
Wow. Same angels?
Well, you know, angels tell us angels are angels. They may have an Indian name. They may have a Native American name. They may have a Jewish name. They may have an Islamic name. But they're part of this evolvement, co-evolvement with us. Well, and get this. This is just something that's happened just in the last couple of days. Now, you and I last time, you know, talked about politics also kind of evolving. And I won't repeat that, but what's an interesting add-on to what we said in the last interview, there's a group that I'm talking with here in Boulder called Formation. Let me see, what is it? Oh, I can't remember the name of it. But anyhow, what their premise is to bring all parties together. And they literally have some movers and shakers around the country who are on board with it, where they want to end political division and they want to get different political groups, you know, working together. And so they have approached the Obama people. They have approached the McCain people.
That's wonderful. Sounds like just what we need to bring everybody together.
I don't see it just politics. I really do see it as economics. I do see it as religion. I also do see it as, you know, even education. All of those structures are getting their foundation shaken. Well, and that's what we hear from these angels. You know, we are now co-creators. We get to create the new prophecy.
So, again, it's really all up to us on how we create. We can either create happiness or we can create misery. The responsibility comes to us, and especially now with the time being so powerful.
Well, and frankly, I'm finding it really deeply on a personal level. I'm basically having my lunch handed to me, you know, anytime I move out of this peace that we experienced up at Yellowstone. I don't know about you, JT, but, you know, I really get stuff put right in my face when, you know, I move out of that sense of unity.
Well, one thing I learned from this Yellowstone event was it was all about, like, I just felt tolerance just kept coming up and coming up through, you know, myself and everyone around me. And I think that's, like, one of the keys to peace. I think there's several different keys, but I think that's a big one. I think that's maybe what this year was all about, was the tolerance of each other. So,
and that's a good point. I mean, there's a whole story about what happened with the Native American folk, because you know, we had people join us who literally were trying to shut down the event earlier.
Ah.
And one of these was the chief of the Northern Cheyenne. And there really was some difference of opinion on what the American tribal leaders were telling us, and how, you know, how peace had been destroyed by white people and white culture, and how they were trying to, you know, to survive it, and how they were trying to find out who they were. And, you know, we would listen to that. And then Don Alejandro, who is the grand elder of the Mayan people, would speak. And, man, his talk was completely transformative. You know, he called everyone brothers and sisters. And he told the stories of oneness and how we had to be not only one with one another, but one with the animals and the trees and the earth. And so this really juxtaposition of you know, the North American pain and suffering, put in comparison to Don Alejandro's speaking as a true elder, just really kept showing up. And then finally, in the end, several of the Native American participants called D'Alejandro up on the stage and honored him as the elder he was, and understood, you know, the wisdom that he was bringing us. And all of a sudden, the tension gave way to a sense of tolerance. This just kept happening. And I mean, it was uncomfortable, but then it was also miraculous.
By the way, I had read another interview that you gave, that you spent some private time with Don Alejandro, who's an elder with the Mayans. And he said something really spectacular. The fact that the Mayan calendar of 2012 really does not end the Mayan calendar. He said that that some of the calendars had been lost or destroyed or misplaced.
I found that shocking. I mean, he totally blew me away. He's basically saying white folk have created this. He comes right out and says, if you want to know about the Mayan people, then come and speak with the Mayan elders.
Wow, that is so huge. Everybody has been freaking out about the year 2012. So it's good to make sure that everybody knows this is a myth.
Well, and get this, you know, his talk was great, but I was able to spend private time, you know, and I took him out into the field to explain to him the geometry and all that we were doing. And right about this time, Joseph Giovi, who's the founder of Common Passion and a very close friend of Don Alejandro's, starts screaming, and I'm thinking, what the hell is Joseph doing now? And Don Alejandro's native name is translated as Wandering Wolf. So, I stand up and I look at what Giovi's doing. He's pointing to the woods, and there in the woods is this huge black wolf. And it's darting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's like, there's no way what I'm seeing is real. And I had, you know, it was there. The wolf was there. Now, you have to keep in mind, I lived in Montana. I know what goes on there. And Montanans are allowed to shoot wolves if they come out of Yellowstone. And they do. And the wolves don't come out of Yellowstone. And they don't come around towns and cities either. And here we were right on the edge of West Yellowstone where the formation took place, and here's this wolf, this black wolf. And then the thing just disappears. And I look up at Don Alejandro, and he's got this grin on his face. And then his wife leans over and whispers in my ear, she says, "This happens all the time." She says they always find him. And so that started this conversation, and he started telling the ancient stories of how the world was won and how the divisions began and how Atlantis, what really happened with Atlantis and what really happened with these forces that came in. And he started talking about, you know, the underground worlds, and oh my God, it was fascinating. I'm sorry no one else was able to hear it. This stuff nobody ever gets to hear because, you know, they're pretty choosy about who they talk to.
Are you saying the middle of the earth?
He didn't use that term, and in fact, at his evening talk, someone actually stood up and asked him about the middle of the earth and the tubes and that, and he demurred and talked about, you know, that there were legends, and then he told one of the Mayan legends about the twins and how, you know, what happened under the earth. But he never told anyone what I heard when we were out in the field together.
Oh, he's very protective. What about Atlantis? What did he say about that?
Well, you know, that the Mayan people and the Mamos and the Hopi, he basically said, were part of the remnants of the Atlanteans, that the Mayans still carry some of the Atlantean secrets and some of the Atlantean stories. I had talked also with Sequoia Trueblood, who is one of the honorary elders of the Mamos of Colombia, and he told me some of the legends of the Mamos, and they matched up exactly with what I heard from Don Alejandro. I mean, it was fascinating.
Well, do you have any other angel messages that you could share with us before we go?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to kind of wrap this up with a quote that occurred in one of the statements that was given by Michael, and I'd like to quote again. And in this appearance, Michael says, "I tell you truly, the excitement you are feeling will fill the hearts of others. That which is to come will be as no other Eden event. Friendships will be made that will last a lifetime. Love will be found by those who have not found it. Souls will reconnect with one another in a powerful way because of the paths of truth that are open, which have been denied by the darkness and by the ignorance. When the Shekinah and the Metatron join once more, the world cannot war against it."
How fabulous is that?
Well, and you know, I don't just see that warring in terms of Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan. I see that warring even within each and every one of us.
Uh-huh.
And I see it within the relationships that we have with other people. I see it in terms of family. I see it in terms of community. And I see it in terms of nation. And I do believe that the transformation has begun. I do believe that the golden age of peace has made the first step. And I do believe it will be like an incoming tide. It may be gentle, it may be subtle, but it will be unstoppable.
Wow, that sounds so great. I love it. Can you tell us anything about a future event, like next year's Gathering of One?
The area that has been designated will be in the eastern part of the United States, which kind of caught me by surprise because I actually thought they'd go with the western, because ultimately all of this will end with what's called the Place of Wisdom. So we're told that there are two factors that have to remain on the earth for these divine archetypes to remain. And those two factors are joy and wisdom. Now, it was at the gathering of joy that the Shekinah showed up. And here we have both the Metatron and the Shekinah moving into oneness at this event, which is the paths of truth that lead to wisdom. So the East will represent the final joining between East and West, the notion of the heavenly and the earthly, because in the West is where the angel of wisdom stands. So this next event will be in the East, and it will be probably like the final preparation as we enter into the days of peace and wisdom, which will permanently bring heaven and earth together. Now, well, mentioning that the area that they're looking at right now is around Virginia, Virginia Beach, they may continue with that. There are no guarantees, but they're looking at that area for right now.
Okay, so we can find out future updates by going to thegatheringofone.com, right?
There is that, and I will also make sure to keep everybody abreast on my private website, which is gwharton.com. I have the newsletter that will be sent out from the Gathering of One.
JT, do you have a website people can go to?
Actually, I have a MySpace page, and I put all my event pictures on that. Yeah, it's myspace.com/JTEGLEY.
And right before we say goodbye, I do want to say thank you again, not only to JT for those fantastic photos, but to Regina Mattson for the fire angel, and for Janice Robb for those terrific pictures in Switzerland. And many thanks to you, GW. I truly appreciate everything that you've done. It's been so moving and just a joyful interview for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and thank you. And thank you for giving my pictures exposure also.
My pleasure. And to all of my wonderful listeners, we will talk to you next week. Good night. You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.